We are learning Shabbat of Rav Avadia Yosef, Shabbat Mishav Chavadad Chelek Vav, tonight Siman Chaf Aleph, which is a fascinating question, but it really touches on so many different areas. Again, continuing Hilchot Shabbat, if you have a hot water urn on Shabbat, you're not allowed to boil water on Shabbat. Good. Don't boil water on Shabbat. Easy. So we're going to put up the urn, which is going to keep the water hot from before Shabbat. The water will be boiled before Shabbat. So far, so good. The problem is as follows, is that a lot of the newer urns, and he's writing this many years ago, but even then, have a little bit of an indicator in the front. What do you mean? Well, you can see there's a way that measures, well, how much water is in the urn. So how does that work? Well, there's this little tube that has a little bit of water in it, and because of the pressure, it equilibrates with the water that's in the urn. This is outside, right? Even if it's attached, it's still not enclosed within the heating element. Sometimes it's even like a half an inch forward of it. And so what happens is when you empty water, when you pour water into a cup, what happens is, well, water from the urn and water from that little tube indicator comes together into your cup. Who cares? Because the water in the indicator tube is not going to be as warm as the water that's in the urn, right? The water in the urn is surrounded by heating elements. The water here is not. Presumably this water is going to be colder than that water. Perhaps. So no, it's not. It's the tube is in front. It has to be in front. It has to be separate. Otherwise, you won't get the you won't get the pressure. On some of the newer ones, it's touching. But even then, it's on the outside of the heating element. And some of them, it's actually forward of the heating element. And so it's going to be colder. And so is that a problem now that you're warming this colder water? So he says, first of all, maybe it's not colder. I don't know. So measure. You got a thermocouple. You have has a wire at the end, you can thread it through, and you can find out. And so, the answer is like all good answers in halakha, it depends. Depends on which urn you have. Some of the urns, it's close enough it stays hot, and some of them it gets cold. Okay, but let's talk about it. Some of them have it like, I've seen urns now, where the indicator is actually, it's not even attached, it's attached, but it's like pushed off, there's like air space in between. That is going to be cooler, it's not going to be cold, but it's going to be cooler than the other water. Now, you'll tell me, I never noticed this in my whole life. I've been making hot tea and hot coffee. It tastes hot. The water's hot. So why are you telling me cold water, hot water? You're right. Because what happens is it's only a little bit of cold water, and it gets heated by the large amount of hot water that comes from the main body of the urn, and so it heats it. And it comes together. That's the point. It comes together so that that way the level comes down, right?
Yeah.
It's hot. So that's a good question. So Ofer is asking, so how hot is hot? So how hot does it have to... So Ofer is pointing out that the water inside the urn, it's mitadeh. There's an English word for that. Condensation, right? On the top of the lid. And there's water there which is not as hot as the water inside. So in halakha, we assume there are only two temperatures. There's below Yad Soledetbo and above Yad Soledetbo. Above Yad Soledetbo, we are going to call hot, and below Yad Soledetbo, we are going to call cold. Now that's absurd, right? Because temperature is a spectrum, and so there's more cold at the moment, there's more cold and less cold. But let's pretend for a moment all that matters is this one line in the sand. What temperature will you put that number at? And so now this is a huge machlokin. So what? No, but if it cools up and it comes this way, then you're still cooking. No, that makes it worse, Gil. No, that makes it worse. Because if the droplet, if you have a really tall, let's say you have a really tall urn, like 5 feet, and they have a little bit of water. So what's going to happen is you're going to have droplets all the way at the top. Those droplets are going to get cold. And by the time they drip back in, the hot water on the bottom, Tata Agavar, is going to cook them, perhaps. So cooking on Shabbat is not allowed. No. That makes it worse. So the question is, so in a normal urn, it's not 8 feet tall. A normal urn, it makes it worse, Gil. In a normal urn, the droplets are still going to be around 110, 120 degrees. They're not cooling off significantly. And so we'll generally, let's pretend for the sake of argument, we're going to make Yad Soledetbo 110. Why? Because it's a tremendous machloket achronim. I'm going to not avoid that question. That's one issue you have to deal with. Let's pretend it's 110 degrees Fahrenheit. 110 degrees.
When I'm making coffee,
yes,
I put cold milk inside the coffee.
In the kli sheni, and the milk is pasteurized. Kita'agavar means, that's not relevant to this question. No, you're confusing three issues. Kita'agavar means that it's called cooking, not cooling. Kita'agavar would make it worse.
But how you allow it? It's the same thing.
No, it's not, because you're not pouring milk into an urn, you're pouring milk into a cup. That's called a kli sheni already. That's a kli sheni, kli shlishi. So kli sheni or shlishi is a different story. It's a different story. This is an urn. So what we're talking about is, again, this topic, just one second, what we're talking about is as follows. Halakha recognizes different pots. There's the pot that's on the fire, right, which is the urn, which is the fire. It has the heating element. And then you pour from that water into the cup. The cup is called a kli sheni. You can then pour from that cup into a third cup, kli shlishi, et cetera, et cetera. We're focusing currently only on the urn itself. Kli rishon. Otherwise, it gets more complicated. We'll get there.
Hold on.
So that's the topic. So the question is like this. Is that a problem or not? So the first question is like this. When we say you're not allowed to cook on Shabbat, what does that mean? You're not allowed to cook. Okay? So you can't take raw chicken, put it in the oven, get it to be 110 degrees, but it changes. There's something different between raw chicken and cooked chicken, and it isn't just the heat. Yes, it's hotter, but even after the cooked chicken cools down, it doesn't revert back to be raw chicken. It's just cold cooked chicken. Cooking a chicken changes it. Something is fundamentally different about the chicken. The chemical change, it's different now. There's a change. And so cooking, changing that is asur on Shabbat. So why is heating up chicken on Shabbat allowed? Why isn't that bishul? It was cold, and now you heated it. Bishul is making things hot. So no, the Gemara says, ain bishul, achar bishul. Now you have to understand the Gemara uses a double negative to prove something. Ain bishul, achar bishul, if you translate the words, means there is no cooking after cooking. What does that mean? So that's your chicken. So, but what does that mean, ein bishul achar bishul? It's a strange way of talking, unless you're speaking Gemara language. Ein bishul achar bishul means, once something is cooked, you cannot violate the prohibition of bishul, no matter what you'll do to it. Meaning, ein bishul achar bishul, once bishul happened, anything you'll do later doesn't count as bishul. Why? It's cooked chicken, Ribbono Shel'olam. You can't uncook the chicken. Once the chicken is cooked, it's over. Now, if you'll heat it up, that's called mechamim. That's not called bishul. How do I know? Because it didn't revert back. It, when you have a cooked chicken and you cool it off, it doesn't become raw. So heating it up is not cooking either. Fine. So far, so good. That makes sense. That's why you're allowed to heat up chicken on Shabbat. Rice, all sorts of things. Because cooked rice, when you cool it, it doesn't become raw. It's still cooked rice. So Tosfot wants to know, what about water?
That only, like, by
salad. Yeah, so Tosfot wants to know, what about water? The Gemara doesn't differentiate. Correct. So the Gemara doesn't talk about it. The Gemara says, the Gemara's only example is Tarnagolta de Rebbe Abba. Okay, some type of chicken. The Gemara says nothing. The Gemara just says Tarnagolta, that's the example, chicken. So Tosa says, you know why the Gemara uses an example of chicken? Because what happens? How do you cook water? You heat it. And when you cool it down, it goes back to its original state. It's not like chicken. After you cook chicken and you cool it back down, it doesn't become raw again. It's now cold, cooked chicken. But when you heat water and then you cool it down, you now have uncooked water again. You went back to the original. You undid the original bishul. So Tosfos says, and this other Shulchan Aruch assumes, that ein bishul achar bishul only applies to what we call davar yavish, to a solid. But by davar lach, by a liquid, yesh bishul achar bishul. Again, why? Because once you heat the water, right? Heat the water now. And then you cool it off. It's just the same as it was before. You undid it. Tosfos' language is azil le bishule. Once it cools down, the bishul that happened to it disappeared. You're not going to tell me the same thing about a piece of steak. Steak is cooked even when it's cold. Even when it cools down, there. But by water, we assume, yesh bishul achar bishul. Now, Gil's right. It's a machloket rishonim. It's a machloket between the Rambam and the Rashba, and Tosfot, and pretty much all the other rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch writes, yeah, yesh bishul achar bishul belach. So if that water cools down enough, and then we reheat it, it's going to be a problem of bishul b'shabbat. It's going to have to be a three-part series, so Bezrat Hashem, come back and look at the kitzur, just if you have one, because it's Thursday night, it's mutar, it's permissible. You have to come back next week to understand why, though.